This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Sarah Heller. How are you, Sarah?
Very well, thanks.
Excellent. You're a master of wine and we're here at Wine to Wine, or just before Wine to Wine.
Yes.
Having a few drinks beforehand. Well, not really. Panel tasting.
Yes. Formally, that's how we refer to it. Not just having a couple of drinks. Yes. And today I'm doing three sessions on the wines of Sardinia.
Yep.
So the first one on Vermentino. Then Canonau, or Grenache, as it's known elsewhere in the world. And then our final one today, I'm going to be talking about some native grapes in Sardinia that are unknown outside of the island.
Well, we haven't actually had that panel, but we've had Vermentino. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to talk a wee bit about Vermentino. Well, I was telling Monty earlier that Monty Bolden, who does the Italian wine podcast, that he asked me how I choose my wines at restaurants. And I say, if I don't recognize it, that's the one I have. Or if I do recognize it and I don't really know what to expect, that's the one I have. And I was in a wine bar on Friday night in town in Verona. And there was a Vermentino there. Hadn't had it for a while. I cannot remember the last time I'd had Vermentino. Had it. It was okay. It wasn't as good as some of the ones we had today.
Yeah.
Looking at the tasting of the Vermentinos, because I came in a little bit later, there seemed to be a really big range of styles.
It's a massive range of style.
Yeah. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, I think it's to do with the fact that there's only recently been a recognition that it could become one of the great white varieties of Italy. I think Italy's suffered for a while from this reputation that its red wines are spectacular and the white wines are just sort of easy quaffing wines.
Yeah, there's a couple of good ones, but
But I think most people are kind of your view, right? There are a couple that are decent, but nothing that would be considered world class.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of grape varieties challenging that now. So the three that are always touted as the top ones are Verdicchio, Fiano, and Garganica from Suave. But now people are starting to take...
Just on that Garganica, maybe I'm just drinking the wrong Suave, but even when I get an expensive Classico, I still don't find it great.
Yeah. Getting it forbidden from ever coming back to Veneto if I say anything about this. You know, Suave, I think there are some great examples, but there's still, you know, I think it's still coming back from the 70s and 80s when Suave became this sort of mass production zone. And it's really a matter of the soils with Suave, and particularly volcanic sites. But we're here to talk about Vermentino.
Yep.
So Vermentino is one that, again, like many of the grape varieties in Sardinia, is not probably or almost certainly not originally from the island. Mm-hmm. Most likely from Spain, came through Corsica, maybe France, because, you know, in the south of France, it's known as Roll.
Oh, is that the same grape?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know when I was working briefly at a producer in Provence, he used it in his white blend as well.
Okay.
And they're using it quite a lot in Provence in rosé.
Okay.
To add a certain freshness.
Yeah.
Because it is a naturally high acidity grape.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, so in Italy, you also find it in Piemonte and in Liguria. And I think in a lot of people's minds, it's historically closely associated with Liguria.
Yeah.
But actually, if you look at the distribution of plantings today, about 74% are in Sardinia, 14% in Tuscany, and only 7% in Liguria. I think that's partly because the total production of Liguria is tiny. Just a little strip of land, right, along the coast.
Yeah.
Whereas Sardinia has really embraced the grape variety. It's mainly planted in the one DOCG in Sardinia, in the northeast, in an area called Gallura, which is really famous for its granite soils. That they're also quite sandy, quite poor. And so they're able to tame the naturally extremely intense vigor and productivity of the Vermentino vine.
Oh, does it like to grow, does it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it'll produce absurd amounts of grapes if left to its own devices.
Oh, okay. Which, obviously, if you're making jug wine or cheap wine, that's great. But if you're trying to make something quality, you've got to really work at it.
Absolutely. So in Piemonte, where it's referred to as Favorita, they think the origin of the name is that it was a table grape. So favored, lovely to eat as well, which, you know, many quality wine grapes are not.
Yeah.
They're too acidic or too tough or various things.
You described it as a semi-aromatic, and one of the wines was would be what I'd class as aromatic. Yeah. And a lot of the wines were sort of probably a bit less than aromatic.
Sure.
More, not neutral. It's not like a sort of some of the Trebbiano,
yeah,
or something like that. But it wasn't in your face bit of fruitiness, whereas one of them was poor. Yeah. Jeepers creepers. That was interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of it is to do with fermentation temperature.
Yeah.
So the whole question was, why is there such a diversity of styles? It's because they've only recently figured out that it has this quality potential, and everybody's trying to figure out exactly what the recipe is, right, for great Vermentino.
Okay.
So people are experimenting with all different levels of fermentation temperature, so from like 14, 15, mm-hmm. where you see a lot of Sauvignon Blanc temperatures,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where you're really going.
There was one that had real almost pyrazine type of characteristics to it, you know, yeah. That real greeny, herby.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I've heard Vermentino elsewhere be called like Italy's Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
And there was one of those wines that I think lived up to that name. Historically, in the 19th century, it was referred to, the dry wine was supposed to have been like Chablis. I think we only sort of saw in one of the wines.
I saw the wine. I didn't agree with you when you said that.
Fair enough.
Because normally Chablis, I expect to have a little bit more acidity to it.
Right.
You know, and that, I don't like the word minerality, but that acidity, that sort of linearity you get with a strong acidity.
Yeah.
I didn't think the Vermentino had that.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it probably more akin to like a Muscadet sur Lys. In terms of it had this extra weight from the batonnage.
Yeah.
I mean, Muscadet is also a very acidic grape, but yeah. it kind of was tending in that direction. I think, to be honest, none of the wines produced from Vermentino really resembles a Chardonnay.
No.
It's not in that category of flavors, but...
Although you say that, but I was going through, I didn't agree with all the flavors that your colleague was coming up with, but I saw a real range from the pyrazines, mm-hmm. I saw a lot of stone fruit in them, even some tropical fruits in the wines as well, papaya, pineapple, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it showed quite a range of flavors in there.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's a grape variety that really craves heat and dryness, which is not that common for white grape varieties.
No.
And so you do get this massive spectrum, because some people, I think, have a tendency to push it too far and go for too much of a good thing. You know, we had one of the wines was 15% alcohol.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I'm just not convinced that there are many grape varieties, white grape varieties, that can carry that much weight.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had really, its acidity had become really quite subdued, and it was not really in balance anymore.
Yeah.
I felt like the most successful ones were hovering around 13.5, maybe 14.
Yeah, it's still quite gutsy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's still quite gutsy.
Yeah, no, it's not your light and easy quaffable wine. There are wines made from the grape variety, from Vermentino, that are like that. You can find them on the Tuscan coast, the southern part of Sardinia, near Cagliari, the capital, which are very much the sort of easy drinking, spritzy, quaffing wine.
Yeah.
But Gallura is really somewhere where they're looking for concentration, depth, poignancy, something unique and interesting in the grape variety.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're maybe starting to sketch out the outlines of where it could go.
So what style of wine? Because we saw a style that was not quite as intense and not quite as acidic as a Savvy from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And we saw styles that were richer and quite full.
Yeah.
Not quite a Viognier, but, you know.
But, yeah, tending in that direction. Yeah, that sort of stone fruit, apricot almost, and this delicate kind of acacia floral character.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the really, real, really floral ones I felt like were just the fermentation temperature was too low.
Okay.
And so it was just creating this sort of borderline artificial floral character that'll disappear within a year or so. It's not going to have longevity. I think the ones that
just on that. Is that what happens? You know, when you have a low fermentation, you might get pear drops or something like that. Mm-hmm. Does that burn off quite quickly as the wine ages?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Those are quite light, delicate aromas, and so and any kind of terpenic floral character is quite quick to go.
Okay.
With time. Actually, Vermentino is a grape variety that doesn't naturally have high terpenes and puts them on with time in bottle, but it's not a floral character that comes out. It's more of a kind of aniseed
Okay. Oh, I like that normally. There was one that was a little bit Riesling.
Yeah.
And you described it as a sort of a Mosel style Riesling. And I thought that had a little bit of that oiliness coming through in the wine. I actually found it quite attractive. It wasn't as oily as sort of a hot climate Riesling where it just gets a little bit too much.
Yeah. For me, that character is, I guess this is, it's like making a reference to something that doesn't mean anything to anybody else maybe, but furmint, the Hungarian grape variety,
yeah.
That they're making much more dry furmint in Tokaj now.
Yeah. You can actually get 100% furmints in London, so.
Nice. Yeah. I actually, in another project that I'm working on, have a furmint in a brand that I'm working on with a partner. So I've been tasting a lot of the grape variety. and it is this kind of, it's an aroma that you get both in Riesling and in Hunter Valley Semillon, that sort of smoky iodine character.
Yeah.
And that's sort of more what it reminded me of than Riesling per se.
Yeah, no, I could see that. Maybe slightly older Hunters.
Yeah, definitely aged Hunter. Because it didn't, that particular one didn't have that much floral character left. It was very much in a kind of mineral hydrocarbon direction. I really liked that one. And the Vermentino from Marilisa Allegrini that I kept referring to that I tried last night, that was from 2012. She's making a Vermentino in Bolgheri from a Corsican clone, a Vermentino. And that really had that sort of ferment Semillon type character. Because Attilio Scienza has this theory that there's a lot of genetic similarity between Vermentino and Furmint. And reading it, I was like, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. It sounded like just a convenient analogy because of the names. But actually, after tasting these two wines, I'm beginning to see where he's coming from a bit more.
Okay. So it sounds like Sardinian Vermentino isn't really a finished product. It's a work in progress in terms of trying to explore the best expression for the island.
I think there are individual wines that are great.
Oh, no, there was some stuff I'd be more than happy to drink. Don't get me wrong.
But I think you're right in the sense that an iconic cohesive style.
Or an identity of style. Yeah,
absolutely. Is probably not quite fully formed yet. But I think it's early days. A lot of the vineyards that we were talking about are like 10, 15 years old. So that's the other thing. With time, obviously, the natural vigor of the vine will be reduced. So people won't have to do quite so much work.
Yeah.
Because Marilisa was talking about the amount of green harvest that she has to do just to get her vines even remotely to a sensible level of yield. So I think with time, producers won't have to do that kind of work. The vines will naturally come into balance, and probably the material will dictate the style more than the sort of winemaking, which I think is, we saw a huge variety of winemaking, fermentation temperatures, but also things like skin maceration, little bit of oak, a bit of lees holding, lees stirring.
Yeah.
And I think some of that is useful, but I think a number of this sort of technique heavy wines will fade as the inherent quality of the grapes becomes higher.
Yeah, okay. And do you think Vermentino could become a good grape, well-known grape?
I think it could. Having tasted today, having tasted others that are more mature, I think a critical thing for grape varieties to really achieve this reputation for quality is that the wines have some ability to evolve and improve over time. And I think Vermentino is starting to show that it can do that. I think there's certainly potential for it to become one of the great whites of Italy.
You gave us a few places, Piemonte and
Liguria,
as other places in Italy, but is it grown anywhere else in the world?
I think there are probably producers in Australia making it just because they're doing everything these days.
Yeah, get a bit of grape variety.
Yeah. Well, You know,
they'll probably call it something else. They don't know the name of it. They'll call it Sauvignon Blanc.
Well, as we saw with one of the wines today, they could probably get away with that. But I don't know why you'd need other vine material to make a Sauvignon Blanc. But yeah, I think there will be producers experimenting with it. I seem to remember having read about some, but none come to mind just right now.
Yeah.
I think its ability, two things. The fact that it's so heat and drought resistant is really interesting for a lot of places as the climate becomes
warm. And it produces a wine that's reasonably fresh for that temperature as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's one that manages to hold on to its acidity reasonably well, as you say. So I think areas, I've heard of somebody in California doing one, and I can see the drier, hotter parts of Australia, it being very popular there.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you very much, Sarah.
Great. Not at all. Thank you.
Cheers very much.